to the Plain City Council regular meeting of Wednesday, October 14th, 2009, is called to order at 6:08 p.m. All right, we'll start with roll call, starting with City Recorder, please.
City Recorder Luana Danovall.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Mayor Kay Shields.
Councilor Barbara Hedges.
Councilor Adele Mulaney.
Councilor Douglas Moore.
Administrative Assistant Moore.
All right, we do have a quorum, and all staff are present. And I'm sure everyone expects for me to pick on our honored and esteemed former mayor, Mr. Martinez, to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, we do have some added agenda items. So you want to note on your agenda under number 11, we will add 11A, a $1,000 grant application for $1,000 planning assistance grant application. And Luana, you'll be sending that?
Sure.
Okay. Yep, all right. 11B is going to be discussion on getting a letter to Senator Wyden. And Luana will explain what all of that is about.
Okay.
And 11C will be a discussion of an assurance agreement that RCDI, Rural Communities Development Initiatives, would like for us to sign so that they can actually get additional funding to help us with economic development planning. So that'll be RCDI assurance agreement.
What is RCDI?
It's Rural Community Development Initiatives. That's Chris Marco, who spends a lot of time here helping us out. Any counselors have anything we need to add under agenda items?
Yes, I'd like to add the a discussion of the committee to acquire the Water and Sewer Committee, and then the appointment of Ted as the chair of that committee.
Okay, committee to, how did you word that?
For the water and sewer acquisition.
Okay. Okay, now the 11D.
Okay.
All right, Jeremy, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. So, we will move on to the consent agenda. Hopefully we've got it down now to where we don't need to do any discussion on any consent agenda items, since that's...
Did you find the mistakes?
No. That kid's getting well trained. No, I'm not going to take the credit for that.
Patty's falling out.
Patty's doing herself well trained. What was that?
The hyphenated follow-up.
Oh.
Well, it's always a learning experience.
What page is that on? You're louder than I can hear you. Page 8?
Yes.
Okay. We can do this without, if that's all anyone has, without removing it from the consent agenda. Councilor Hedges pointed out that on page 8, last sentence under item 12, city reporter Danville Valles stated she would follow up, should be two words, not a title of a word.
Yes.
So we can get that corrected.
Okay.
I have nothing. I'm good with the consent agenda. Anyone else? Did you do all the reviews? All right. Then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the minor change to the minutes as noted.
I move to
second.
Okay. So moved and seconded.
Long day.
Long for all of us. To approve the consent agenda with minor change to the minutes as noted. Take a roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Mullane, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. All right, we'll move on to item number 6, Community Wildfire Protection Plan Presentation. Joe Stepper.
Good evening. How are you folks today?
We're good. Thank you for being here.
You're most welcome. You need to hang up my PowerPoint presentation, so it'll take me just a second to do that.
All right. You need a table?
This is my Neil Forrester's PowerPoint presentation. Technology.
Gotcha.
There's the end of this someplace. These are hot off the press, so we have them on board, but that didn't work today. Ladies back, would you like to proceed?
I don't know what the...
Well, I think she went to get some pins.
To get some pins?
Pins.
Oh. Like when you want to check
them? Ready when you are ready.
That's all right. Let's go ahead and proceed. It's all being recorded anyway.
Very good. Well, thank you. I wanted to put the maps up, and I'll refer to them in just a moment, but just a little history. Particularly the last 10 years, we've had lots of fires throughout the United States, and after the Biscuit Fire in 2002, the Bush administration came up with an initiative called the Healthy Forest Initiative, which created exemptions to tree fuels, particularly that were high, you know, really prone to wildfire. 2003 was another record year for us, and as a consequence, in December, the Healthy Forests Restoration Act was passed, which basically said, we've been doing this all along, and we need to create community fire plans where the communities are basically telling the federal agencies what the priorities are for treating fuels around those communities. So that was in 2003. I actually started with the county in 2004, and since that time, we have every acre of the county covered in community fire plan. We started with the coalition boundary, which is here. Simultaneously, we were working with Sisters, Lapine, and Sun River. I think Sun River edged you out by about a month, but so the Greater Lapine Community Fire Plan was completed. Then we essentially worked our way up the 97 corridor where most of our populations are, Bend and then Redmond. And then we looked at that area to the west and the east of the corridor. And you think, well, that's all public land, but there's not a lot of people there. But in reality, on any given weekend, there's about, from mid-May until about this time of the year, there's about 40,000 people up using recreating public land that, if we have a fire there evacuated, then may become an issue for the county and perhaps the city of Lapine to deal with evacuation. So we were able to put the plans together. We actually had a pretty good plan for this greater Lapine, but because of the fuels treatment and some other kind of cool things happening like the city of Lapine, we decided to update the community fire plan. And I know a couple of you have done those, our community fire plan meetings and updates. So we're to the point now of actually seeking approval from the city council, because in the legislation in 2003, when you complete the community fire plan, you need the local fire chief, you need the county commissioners, you need the representative from Oregon Department of Forestry, and then certainly if there's a municipality like the city of Lapine, then they would be signatory to the community fire plan. So we have had our meetings, we've solicited input, and we're now ready for kind of the final steps from a process perspective, approval from the city council, and then a signing ceremony, if you will, that would include all those people. The reason that, again, the map is to show you that, where Lapine, Greater Lapine fits in, it includes the city, but it also includes a number of outlying areas. It goes up to the state park, out to Wickia, up the county line, and to the east of here, and there are, about 23,000 people that live inside the Greater Lapine CWPP, and I was just amazed at that. When we started counting properties and all of that, it's just pretty remarkable. And if you drive around a little bit, then it doesn't take you long to see them. So we've got efforts going on in every county, or every part of CWPP, but I also wanted to show you this map. And this was, we'll update this after this fire season. Let me ask this question to anyone here. How would you rate the 2009 fire season based on what you've experienced in the past? What do you, good, bad, high, low, what would you think?
Low.
Okay.
Low. Yeah.
That kind of agreement?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we have an average year, we have 500 fires, and we burn about 50,000 acres. Now, we were way down on acres this time, but we're at 489 fires.
Wow.
So we're 11 less than normal. When we had a stretch up towards the end of July when we had the lightning bust, we had 170 fires that we picked them all up under 10 acres or less. So sometimes the acres are really a lot and sometimes they're not. The June rains helped us, but the thing also that helped us when we got the lightning is we also got some moisture with it. And the fact that California and Washington and Idaho and Nevada went burning at the same time, so we had plenty of resources. So the point is that we're just a fire-prone area. When you look at all of this, this map is really telling, and it has all the fires 100 acres or larger since the year 1900. And from 1900 to 1999, which is essentially 100 years, we burned about 125,000 acres. And that's, still a pretty good chunk. From the year 2000 through 2008, we burned 180,000. So we burned almost 60,000 acres the last 9 years, 8 years, than we did the previous century. So there's a number of reasons for that, but all those reasons point to having community fire plans, which allow us to get grant money and treat fuels. Only a lot of words. Let me just, you know, one of my favorite people in this world was my grandfather, and he used to say, "Well, son, don't tell me how hard you've been working. Tell me what you got done." But we're going to tell you what we got done in Greater La Pine. I had to complete this report for all the community fire plans. Greater La Pine is, since the last 3 years, I treated 1,232 acres inside the community fire plan boundary, and that's second only to Bend, which is 1,436 acres. We treated over 4,000 acres, and this is private land. You say, well, that's not a lot of acres, but when I tell you they were quarter acre at a time, that's a lot of acres. That also includes road district boundaries like Newberry Estates, Ponderosa Pines, and others. But the other significant accomplishment is what people have been doing themselves. We implemented a program last year. It's called the Sweat Equity Program, to where if you treated fuels around your property to Senate Bill 360 Defensible Space Standards, and you just put it out on your road or driveway, we'll come pick it up and we'll make it all go away. Over the last 3 years, we have accumulated and ground to make clean electricity 238,562 cubic yards. And we use a figure for every cubic yard, that's about a quarter acre. So in this period of time, we treated almost 60,000 acres across the county. And we had this figure that when someone's working, it takes about 2 hours to rake, cut, load, transport 1 cubic yard of material to a disposal site. And for our grants, we get $30 an hour. That 59,000 or 60,000 acres comes up to a value of $313,720. So a lot of energy by a lot of people involved in fight 360 Senate Defensible Space. We have we picked up $6 million of grants over that period of time, that we keep about a dozen contractors going pretty much year-round treating fuels. And so, as my grandpa said, that's what we've been doing in the last 7 years. So what we're asking for is your support, you know, for the community fire plan, and then we will coordinate a time to come and schedule, you know, do a signing ceremony with the commissioners and the other people. So that's my PowerPoint presentation. Brad, no technology glitches. So Brad, you have some questions.
Of course, we did endorse the Community Wildfire Protection Plan was endorsed by the City Council.
By resolution.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. Council, any comments?
No.
Well, I was the one that participated in the meetings, and it was very detailed, and there was a lot of community participation, a lot of concern about reducing those fuels. It was really, really good. It was a very good program.
Thank you. Well, how many people have noticed the work that went on along the east side of La Pine in the industrial area?
Yeah.
And that's not all grant money we got to do that. It was all county and land, because we got a lot of let's see, feedback would be the best place. Well, if I want you to treat your property, how come the county not treating theirs? So we have got after it. So everything we own along the industrial is cleaned up, and we ground every bit that we're going to do out towards where the other kind of grind site is. We're going to use one of those, probably about 5 acres there, where there's a pretty good collection of slash now, that we're going to grind that. So what we're going to do is actually create a free disposal site for the pine. And as long as we don't have washing machines and fence posts and all the other stuff show up there, any woody debris, you can come and deposit it there for free, And once we get that thing piled up to where I need anywhere from 10 to 20 chip trucks to make it worthwhile for the tub grinder to come in, then we'll come in and grind that for free, then it goes to make clean electricity. So we'll be signing that. And so at the dead end, it's not Finley Butte, it's the one to the north, and it's listed me the name of the road now, but it's it would be on the west side of railroad tracks where there's a bit of a debris pile there now.
William Foss?
I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
So, to tell me about that, about Newberry Estates, about how you first went in there and now what it looks like now.
We actually did a couple of things there. We worked with the road district and the number of folks there, and the Bowers, the other gentleman's name slips me now, but anyway, so we got waivers, permission slips from, I think it was close to 60 folks with the total, once we were all said and done, because we initially started with about 35 or 40, and then once we got about 15 or 20, then a couple of neighbors said, that looks pretty good, how about me? And we got a lot of absentee owners, some vacant lots, so we got the waivers and we, put out a contract, and so we went and treated the fuels. Then we also, a significant issue there, this, and part of it, frankly, was the funding available to the road district to be able to maintain the road from the standpoint of encroaching vegetation. So one of the huge issues in the community fire plan was ingress, egress, one way in, one way out kind of roads. So we treated every mile of road within Newberry Estates, and then we worked with that same group and then put evacuation signs to Newberry Estates to get them out if in fact we needed to do that. And that model we've now used at Ponderosa Pines, and that's pretty well complete. And the other really good thing about Newberry Estates was that it's essentially surrounded by public land, so the Forest Service and BLM have treated around that. So those were the two really big important areas when we did the community fire plan. So I'm feeling pretty good about Newberry and Ponderosa Pines now from the standpoint of that. So we'll continue what we call the sweat equity program for a number of neighborhoods here. If they get a list and agree on a time to have the stuff treated, and we'll have a contractor come pick this up, and then we'll go to the disposal site here or another spot, participating fire free. So that's kind of a long answer there, but there's not a short way to tell.
Yeah,
it's all right. It was interesting.
Yeah.
But they have to put it out by the street.
We need to have it, because we don't, if you've ever driven a heavy piece of equipment and fallen through a safety system or a tank is not a good deal. So if we put it out front, we typically avoid that stuff. But if they'll have it along the driveway or along the street, that we can logically come and pick it up either by hand, by our piece of equipment, we'll do it. But we can't. We don't want to go out and hide and seek on back to someone's property. So
very understandable. Yeah. We like hearing from you, Joe. You always just bring us good, positive stuff and things that are easy to sign on to. I think.
I'll do my best to stay that way. So. Very good. Well, good. Well, then, I appreciate the support and the good questions. And Katie will be contacting you probably starting tomorrow and try to get a signing ceremony put together. And it's really, even though we've done it before, we really like to do some sort of formal signing ceremonies for the commissioners and the city council and the ODF and the agencies the fire chief are involved in. And we typically have it becomes a media type of thing. We never want to miss an opportunity to talk about defensible space, fire prevention, homeowners, and how people are working together. So those things typically work out pretty well. So get that scheduled probably in the next couple of weeks or so. Okay, works for your schedule. So.
Okay.
Good.
Make sure we have Newberry Eagle present and get a good story.
Right. That'd be great. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, I'll unplug my PowerPoint. And I highly recommend this type of PowerPoint.
Yeah, me too, for streamlined.
I like it. Okay. How you doing? Look good.
All right. So we will move on then to two, item number seven, memorandum of understanding with the Deschutes Water Alliance. And Jeremy has the latest up-to-date version, so that will replace the one that you have in your packet.
So we obviously discussed the DWA MOU about a month ago, last month I believe. We postponed making any decision. In the interim, I spoke with Mary Winters and exchanged emails with Steve Bryant, city attorney for Redmond, Mary Winters, city attorney for Bend, about this particular MOU. We all had, or at least Mary and I had similar concerns. Mary went ahead on behalf of the city of Bend and made the revisions that are reflected in the draft that is now in front of you. And Mary did a good job of addressing some of the concerns that both the city council discussed when the presentation was made, but also some of the concerns that she and I covered on the phone, such as in the first paragraph under number one, a statement that the voting members do not have the authority to bind their councils or boards to budgetary or policy decisions. If you recall, that's something I brought up in the meeting. But they do have the ability to formulate recommendations. The next item that she addressed, I thought, before I get there, the next item that I think is potentially problematic for us in this particular document that you all will have to decide whether or not you're comfortable with the language is in paragraph 5 regarding the financial contributions. Juan and I both discussed the fact that right now there is no set amount of money or term that would identify what our financial expectations are. And so that's something that obviously the city of Lapine will have to consider in deciding whether or not to go forward with the MOU. The nice thing, or what I like about this particular MOU, is it does give us an out. There is a unilateral termination, right? So if we find that the financial contribution is unreasonable or just not feasible for us, we can terminate it. And this is, that particular language is found in section 12. Now getting back to what I initially started with those additional changes that Mary made, in section 6, Mary clarified some of the consensus decision-making issues. One was that in the second line down, you'll see consensus means that all members present at the meeting agree to support the decision. I thought that was a good clarification. And also in the subsequent paragraph, she included language that provides that the members will have the opportunity to seek advice from the bodies they represent. Another good change. Moving on, section 12 termination. If you recall, one of the items we discussed was, administratively speaking, how it would be basically very time consuming and potentially impractical to require any member wanting to terminate to send notices to all DWA members, but rather it should be focused to one particular member or a president, if you will, of the board. This was changed, I believe, in a version that Mary, not Mary Winters, but Mary Malloy, I think was her last name, made on our behalf. In fact, I think she sent that revision to Luana. It's not in the City of Bend's draft, not that I saw.
But the revision that was made, I believe, still didn't reflect what we were wanting.
Correct. And so what I would ultimately suggest that you do is if you go ahead and approve this document, you approve it subject to minor legal revision. And that's it. It's my understanding that there are municipalities and other quasi-governmental organizations that have signed on to this. I do know that it's something that is receiving quite a bit of support. And Adele, you may be able to confirm this, but I believe the City of Bend passed this or approved this recently.
Yeah, after legal revisions.
The Lapine Water District is doing the same thing.
Okay. An interesting issue, if you will, that's come up is that apparently there are various versions floating around that have been approved. Some of the members that signed on before, for example, this was presented to us, signed on based on the initial draft that we received. now we've got other cities or counties or institutions that are signing on, but with revisions that they make to the document. So obviously there's an inherent conflict there.
Right.
That's a problem that would definitely need to be fleshed out. But
wasn't there a discussion about from the Alliance of just getting one document with all of these revisions?
I think everyone would prefer that to be the case, because everyone's going to be operating under different guidelines, which practically doesn't make any sense. But my thought is, and ultimately it's your call, you know, we could go ahead and agree to this and obviously, you know, ask that kind of these organizational issues get flushed out. You know, it's in its very infinite stages right now. It's going to develop over time. But it's completely up to you.
At the meeting yesterday, I kind of understood that Vind and Redmond were not too happy with it.
Well, and I think that's why the revisions were made by Mary Winters, the city attorney for Bend.
Okay, they wanted more discussion, okay.
Well, Adele, didn't they approve it?
No, they approved it pending the revisions that they spoke about at the meeting.
Oh, so there were additional revisions beyond this?
I think the ones that are in here are the ones that they were talking about.
Okay. So, you know, again, in order to keep the ball rolling, you could approve it subject to legal revision as well, giving Kitty the ability to sign on the city's behalf, and we can move forward in that regard. Or you could wait until all of these issues are worked out. And then once this document has been truly finalized, capturing all of the organizations' respective revisions, review it and approve it, or decide not to. Two options.
I think it just sounds a lot cleaner and neater to wait until everyone's revisions are in, and the Alliance should go back to those who have already signed on.
It's
and ask them to sign. Everybody should have the same document.
Well, I think, that definitely is the
and
preferred approach.
That might be the easiest way to do it. It's just wait until the document is finalized, and then we pretty much already know who's on board with it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's just a matter of getting the final document out.
I would rather wait after hearing so much dissension.
Well, can you, Barbara, go ahead and share with us what you've heard?
I would, but I left my notes at home. They kept talking about trusting, and that kind of got to me, because the people with the irrigation districts seem to be a little greedy compared to what the other people wanted. And, well, not greedy, but, you know, they need the water. And if we put it in the water bank, are they going to take it all, or how is it going to be distributed? So I would feel much more comfortable. I'm sorry I didn't bring that, but... Yeah, the one thing I kept hearing, though, was trust.
From the organization?
Right. Yeah, we have to trust each other that we're going to do the right thing. And when you get into government or things like this, you know, it's hard to say what the people they are working for will say about it. So I would rather have it... complete and ready to sign.
I get the sense that it's definitely a very sensitive issue
mm-hmm.
for the districts. Some of them. Some of them.
I have a question. Did anybody get any indication of how much this was going to cost?
We don't know yet.
We don't know.
And that's one of the issues. I mean, it's open-ended. Basically, it looks like they're going to develop, the organization will develop a budget after it's been established with its membership.
Well, it sounds like some of the irrigation districts might come back actually suggesting some substantial changes. Were you getting that?
In a way, but it was mainly the cities like Bend and Redmond.
Okay.
The people there weren't too sure. You know, what's going to happen to them if we have all of this water, and where is it going, and are we going to get what we need when we need it?
Hmm. It's
So everyone wants to be sure that the means for handling those questions are covered in this.
Right.
Councilor Wood, do you have any input, questions?
I've always felt that you don't make a final decision until you have all the facts. And we don't have. There are not any facts on all of this thing.
Yeah.
That I can see. There's too many iffies. What's going to happen, maybe, things. We should need to wait until everything is put together so that we can actually see just exactly what's going to happen.
Okay.
And how much it's going to cost.
Councilor Moynihan?
Based on my experience with working with these, with this document, I have not heard any of those trust issues or heard the word dissension or anything like that. I think that for our council, probably it would be better to wait until the final version comes out. And we more or less had decided that what was decided about the document is that it was just going to be, you were going to go through legal revisions and then bring it back.
Yeah, and gone through its first round.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the idea is basically what we were trying to do is put together a document that would be endorsed by all of the cities to the extent possible,
mm-hmm.
receive more support than just have, which obviously has already happened, multiple different versions that people are
yeah.
accepting. But ideally, what I think should happen is the organization should get people together, figure out what the issues are, reflect it, memorialize it in one
mm-hmm.
document, and then circulate that document to everyone for execution.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we are responsible to understand it.
I agree.
We're meeting again in November in Bend, same place. So I basically like the idea of having a water bank, but I just want to know how they plan to share it, what it would cost, and to get more information. And I believe that's why they're having the meeting in November to get the facts down more.
So, Barbara, what meetings are you going to? What is it?
It's the Deschutes Water Alliance.
Okay.
Deschutes Basin.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to clarify. Actually, the direction that was given last time was for me to talk with Mary because it was
mm-hmm.
going through their legal revision process.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the meeting is concerned, Barbara, is the meeting then going to be held for the purpose of trying to flush out these issues?
Yes.
Well, then it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
As far as, in my opinion, what your decision would be prudent, if they're going to start flushing out these issues and that meeting's being held to start, you know, determining, agreeing upon changes that are necessary to this document, it would be premature mm-hmm. for us to approve it today.
Oh,
I did not know that. That was not conveyed to me.
I'm sorry. The city manager and mayors, I think, of Bend and Redmond wanted to think about it more.
Okay.
So this November meeting, then, is our representatives of each of the people that they want to sign on to this expected to be there?
Yes.
That's what it's about.
Yes. There is a very large group.
Meeting of the minds.
And there is room in there for more people to go sit and listen in this large area.
Do you have a date certain?
It seems it was the 8th. It was a Monday.
November 8th.
And Ellen Unger isn't going to feed us again. It's too expensive. So. But it was good.
That would be something that we would be ahead on to have you attend, or just wait and see what comes out of it?
Well, you know, I'd be happy to attend. I did not get any calls from Mary or Steve or anyone else informing me of this proposed meeting to discuss revisions, but if that's the intent of the meeting, I think I definitely need to be there.
And the meetings are held where?
I think it was at the county building, wasn't it?
Yes, the Bend County building.
Okay.
And I can call Mary Malloy as well.
Yeah, and your firm is represented there.
We represent some of the water districts.
Okay.
So
hopefully that then would be the final input in getting this put together. Then the Alliance then compiles all the information, all the input they get, and...
I don't know what, again, Katie, I don't know what they're proposing, but it sounds like if the idea is to get together, discuss proposed revisions, and then put together a document that properly reflects all of those concerns, I would think that once that document has been revised and finalized, that would be the appropriate time to bring it back to the City Council for review and approval.
Okay. Is that the direction that Council wants to give City Attorney to attend that November 8th meeting?
Yes.
Definitely, I think it would be good.
When we're all clear on everybody's input from this Council, but we've discussed that enough, we need change to anything, all right?
Good.
Okay.
Thank you, Barbara, for the information.
You're welcome.
We didn't take a roll call consensus on that. I will ask, is there anyone opposed to that?
No.
Nope, hearing none? Okay, Chairman, you have your direction. All right, number 8, Luana, are you ready?
I think so.
Consideration of vehicle acquisition.
While we were at the League of Oregon City, the city manager from the City of Sisters came up to me and said that they are going to be surplusing out their vehicle. So here we are once again with a free vehicle that we could acquire from another city. Last time, the council didn't want to have one because of possible costs. We did a comparison. From that time on, we were keeping track of what our costs were for mileage. I did the comparison, and I have more information to add to that. The $2.50 a gallon was just a guesstimate. The 20 miles per gallon is just a guesstimate also. It's an unknown. So,
around town, 20 miles. I don't think so.
Okay, well, there's room in there then for error. The insurance, I was quoted $413 a year. It is a 1994 Jeep Cherokee, four-wheel drive. It has 130,000 miles on it. The most recent repair was in the middle of September this year. New thermostat was put on it. Other than that, there's nothing else to report for repairs in the last 6 months, and they do their own oil changes, so they did send some pictures.
What'd you say the insurance quote was again?
$113 a year.
Thank you.
So that still is savings. With those unknown factors, I'm not really, you know, can't put a solid dollar on it.
They base insurance like that with different people driving who have different records.
I have information on that, I believe. The insurance company would require a, we call it an MVR, motor vehicles
record.
There you go. It would The quote includes comprehensive collision coverage as well as liability coverage with deductibles of $500 for comprehensive and $1,000 for collision. It's not required, but the city can qualify for possible credits if all potential drivers provide a motor vehicle report on themselves, which they can get at DMV. one of the questions on the application for the city will receive is whether it is not, whether or not it is standard practice for the city to require drivers of the city vehicle to provide that motor vehicle report. So, Art recommended that we adopt that as a standard practice if we do go this route. That's about all the information I have for sure.
So, is this for the use of you and Patty around the town in meetings?
And for counselors.
But if I were to have taken it to Maupin today and you needed to go do something,
then we would use our own vehicles. If it's not available, we'd still use our own vehicles. But it would be used mostly for going to the post office and back. Sometimes the wintertime, it's kind of nice not to get stuck in somebody's driveway when you're trying to get signatures on checks in your stuff, but when you're in your own vehicle.
But we're supposed to come in here and do checks.
Well, didn't happen last year. I got stuck in Katie's driveway.
She was mighty cold by the time she did it. In the place.
But anyway, here's a four-wheel drive. The offer was there.
Well, I think it's a good idea, but there should have been the budget impact report attached to this. Exactly where you're going to get the money from and what you...
And that will be a concern because we haven't budgeted.
So that, I think
we
that...
We could probably acquire it and just let it sit, you know, without anything until we do have budget coverage for it. I don't know if that's advisable. Or maybe they'll hold it for us till July.
When did they say they were going to surplus it out?
When they buy their new vehicle. So that's an unknown also.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How many vehicles do they have?
I don't know.
So currently, we, of course we're not budgeted, but you, have you like looked and see where you could stick it in? And then do a budget report on where the money would come from?
I could do that. Bring it back to the next meeting.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Considering like the maintenance and all that.
Could you do that, please? And also, let's change the miles per gallon figure.
Okay.
Anybody have any idea what might be reasonable for, we're looking at a, what is it?
Probably about 15,
yeah.
Around town.
Do you know
about
that?
Right around that area. It's a six-cylinder engine in there.
It is.
It's a six-cylinder fuel injected.
Which
is fairly good. You know, we get better on the highway than it would around town.
What is wrong with it that they want to get rid of it and buy a new one?
This is time. It's a 94.
They have more money than they can buy new vehicles. We
can't. If I'm reading this right, and I hope I am, it looks like the difference would be we would actually save about $800 a year by having our own vehicle, including insurance, rather than paying mileage. Is that just about correct? We'd actually save about $800 a year, give or take.
But that was based on 20 miles per gallon.
Yeah, well,
the numbers will change.
Yeah. Nobody gets 20 miles a gallon in a Jeep.
Who's going to be servicing this?
Our Western Mr. Ford.
You volunteered, my
friend. What was this? My gray hair is kicking in right now.
Well, I don't know him well enough to accept that.
I've been a mechanic for 50 years.
My
brother, I think I know what I'm doing.
My brother has too, and he's
yeah. You did at one time volunteer to be a free repairman.
So well, I would do that. Well, the only thing I would say is just buy the parts. You know, if you need oil changes, buy the oil and filters. That type of thing. You go front to back and make sure everything's okay and safe-wise. And you check everything. That's the basic bit. And I wouldn't charge labor. It would just be for parts.
And if we were to do this anyway, there are auto repair and maintenance companies in La Pine, so you know we would check.
There are. You tell me where they are.
Well, I know there's at least one. But there are a couple. Of
I went to one that was bad. Okay.
Okay, the only one another thing I would like for you to change to when you bring this back to us is I really don't want you out there doing general error running.
Yes.
We don't need it.
She won't be able to change it now.
I thought she was out there running around doing it. We don't need that. Okay.
All right, but we don't just go get the mail. You know, there's other meetings to attend that can be used for, you know, they're picking up food from the meetings and whatever mm-hmm. snacks. You know, there's lots of errands that need to be done in preparation for meetings, too. So.
Well, and just real quick, it may not seem like a lot, but it does take time for staff to track all of their mileage and everything. Instead mm-hmm. of doing that, they could be doing some other work. So, you know, every little thing that needs to be taken into consideration when you're thinking about this. So, all right, we will bring that back to us with the additional information requested.
Okay.
Number 9, liquor license application, the pit stop.
That's where you get your oil changed.
Yeah, right now they are operating under a temporary limited sales from OLCC, which is beer and wine only. They're asking for greater privileges to include her because OLCC did run a background check that came back for nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay, and the application is complete.
Yeah, there was more stuff.
Do they have a bar in there that is off so that minors can go in?
I haven't been in there, but they didn't used to, so, but I don't know how they've remodeled it. Not that I was aware of.
That establishment always had beer, and it does now too, but now they're asking for hard liquor also in that small building. I don't suppose there's anybody here from this pit stop place to answer any questions. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody should have shown up.
Well, but like Alana's told us before, unless the council has a real
caution.
Issue, like, you know, something that we know about this, any particular establishment or anything, and have something that we can validate that gives some sort of a concern, the OLCC has already said that they're going to approve this. They're not going to not approve it just because we say, tell me if I'm getting this right, just because we say, well, we don't want them to have.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If we have concerns, we can submit the concerns and they will investigate it, but basically they have the final say-so anyway.
Do you know the owner?
No. She just came in probably the day before they opened.
You know, if we do something like the establishment isn't up to code and things like this, there could be some dangers or whatever, then that would be a different thing. OLCC would come in and look at it. But otherwise, pretty much the message that we got from OLCC is that they're not going to accept it if we say no to a liquor license just based on somebody's whim.
So is it a bar or is it going to continue being restaurant, do you know?
It's a pizza parlor.
It's a sit-down and take-out pizza parlor, right?
As far as I know, like I say, I haven't been in there. It wasn't open when she was fired.
Well, before it was pizza, it was like a deli.
Mm-hmm.
A pizza place with hard liquor is an absolute rarity. You do not find hard liquor served in most pizza restaurant. So I have no objection to that. The only objection I have is that it's always nice to look somebody in the eye and say, ask questions about what they're doing. That's all I'm. Would have been nice if somebody had shown up and answered the question. Barbara had a legitimate question. There's nobody here to answer the question. Other than that, I don't have any problem with it. Okay. Nothing we can do anyway. The messed up liquor control board, they'll do whatever they want no matter what.
That's true.
That's true.
There is more to the application. I just didn't copy it because it does have personal stuff on it. Do you want me to go get that and see what
it's
they
not
do you have on
no,
it?
For me. No.
Okay.
No.
If the concern is that it's the responsibility of kids in the same eating area.
I just like to ask the owner.
You that concern.
That wouldn't be allowed.
Why hard liquor is something that you just don't find at a pizza place. I just would be curious as to why. Just the license cost alone for hard liquor is horrendous compared to just beer and wine. I mean, the state's going to charge them a bundle and a half for a license fee.
Stop in and ask them to satisfy your curiosity.
Huh?
You can stop in and ask them to satisfy your curiosity.
Oh, I'm sure if I walked up and said, tell me how much your hard liquor license is going to cost and put it on top of a pizza, they'd go along that road.
All right, so does anyone have any real concerns that they think OLCC would want to come down and take a look at regarding this establishment and their license application?
I don't like to go ahead and try it. They didn't do any business since the other place.
Well, they didn't have a really red hot pizza to begin with.
Okay, getting off subject here, people. I will entertain a motion to approve the liquor license application for the Pit Stop.
I would so move.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Call for roll call vote, please.
Not the word yet.
Councilor Lehman, yes.
Councilor Hitchens, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. All right.
Tomorrow and check them out.
There you go. We will move on then to mosquito abatement feedback and product information.
Nasty.
Okay, the request of the council, we did a survey online, got quite a bit of feedback from it. And you have the results of that feedback, and you also have the ingredients.
Thank you. Is this the same product that they use all over the state?
This is a product that is supplied by a qualified company. What was the name of it?
Terminex.
Yeah, it's the only one that we.
I know.
Well, they're the ones that are doing the fogging, probably.
In the valley, when they do it by schools and all along the roadway and by the farms. And so this is what got me here. Is it the same product? Because
how are they applying it?
Spraying it.
Are they spraying it on the leaves, or are they spraying it in the air?
They're spraying it on bushes.
Okay, that application process then is probably the barrier treatment, which is this product. It's mostly oil, but this product here enhances the poison to kill the mosquitoes. And this product is, because the concern of the council was what was in it.
Who's in charge of the heating?
It does it itself, but we can adjust it.
That's appreciated. Is that anyone else cold?
Yeah.
Anyway,
it doesn't sound good. If the cats are dying, we can't have that.
I was going to say, if they kill the cats, I don't want it.
And even if they go and touch the dogs who had it.
This is the product.
Which we don't care about the dogs, but those poor cats.
and then here's the results of the abatement questionnaire. So
I thought those comments were rather interesting. Now, did you get... Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you got... more comments than what I'm doing, just kind of
generalizing.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
I don't know way further ahead in making a decision on this or not, because some of the things that people don't like, myself included, like killing cats.
Well, the first year I was here, we didn't have mosquitoes like this. And this last year, and I don't get all dressed up to go outside and take the garbage out. Like you said, long sleeves.
So you still had a problem this year? Or you had a problem in where you live?
Oh, yes.
Because they do have that treatment program in your subdivision. So evidently then it's not doing any good.
They were lined up on the screen door waiting to come in.
Well,
waiting.
It wasn't very impressive. It sounds like to me. I don't know. Yeah.
I never saw them.
A treatment plan was here about 10
Well, I think that if we decide, let's just decide on whether or not an abatement would be appropriate, and then we can research and have maybe you can have different representatives come and talk to you, and then you can make a recommendation.
Okay. I don't know how many more there are local. That's the thing.
Uh-huh.
It'll probably be a little.
Yeah. Okay. You do what you can.
And they have to use their own product.
It's probably a standard product.
Yeah. It's the same thing they use.
DDT was going to use better too.
It's looking more.
I am personally, I'm completely against some stranger coming down my street spraying fog all over the place with insecticides, and I have absolutely no clue what's in them or what they do. And before I can be comfortable with it, I'd have to ask questions of the person that's going to do it. Find out when they're going to do it, and how toxic is this stuff. Are we going to have some little 85-year-old lady peel over in the front yard because she got sprayed with this stuff? I'm not real comfortable with it at all, period.
Did you send in your comments and your vote to the website?
No, you know I don't do that website stuff. And I forgot to tell my secretary she didn't get me.
We, of course, are also citizens, and we have our own personal opinions and viewpoints, but we also have to represent, we're here to represent the public, and we do have most of the residents, although not by a large margin, saying yes. Large margin of non-residents who shop and work here saying yes. So obviously we have to take that into consideration.
But if they sprayed Crescent Creek and we were so overrun, did you notice them?
Well, it was a bad year.
Of course, you're gone all day.
It would be nice to know.
No, that they don't come out then. They usually are at night, but they were out all day long.
It would be nice to know when they sprayed, how often, and such.
Well, that's what we need to ask. What was the total number of people that responded to the survey?
All of those.
Huh?
That was it. All of them.
21 people. Out of a population of 1,565. We got 17 people responded. I don't think that's much of a survey myself. I don't know.
Well,
I'll ask my two neighbors what they think about it. Especially the one with the horse. Two horses.
Okay. So
the treatment program, they would have a schedule. They go around and fog a certain amount of roads, you know, so many times a month. They take the whole season and plan it out. They do very treatment, etc. So when you say you want to know how often and all that stuff, probably once every 2 weeks, it just depends. Depends on the area. Down by the river, it's going to need more because that's where they saturate any place that's holding water.
Would you be able to get the information on
when, how many times they did spray in Crescent Creek subdivision?
They do have a schedule. I think they sprayed four times, and it has to do with, I think, hatching or, I think, I don't know, there's something to do with the hatching cycle, and then they do it.
Okay,
I mean, they're professionals, so they kind of like know when to spray and when not.
Yeah, they don't spray when it's windy because it's...
Right, right, but that's still kind of ambiguous. You think it was four times and so on. Mm-hmm. I would like to know how often it was.
Well, I think
that is curious that Margaret says she didn't think feel like it was effective.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can fog, and then the mosquitoes can fly, what, 3 miles every night? Patty, wasn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can have a whole new batch of mosquitoes in after right after you fog.
Didn't you say, Doug, you were spraying your screen door every morning?
Yeah, I was, yes. Yes.
So you fog your screen door.
Yeah, I didn't, yeah, of course, but only because I was forced into it, and I sure as heck didn't breathe any of that stuff.
Okay.
You know? It's like cleaning the oven, you know? You spray it, but you don't breathe it.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and allow a couple of very quick comments. I see a couple of hands going up here. Can we make it quick, please, Tony?
Sure. I live in the vector control zone just north of Burgess Road there, and I think we pay about $12 a year in taxes. I guess that does not matter. But, I mean, the guy, he drives by with a pickup truck, and it's deceivingly small. I mean, he's got a little compressor, and it's putting out a slight mist behind his pickup truck, and I think that's not going to do anything. But it is amazing how the mosquitoes are just gone after they're doing that. And it's very much, I spoke to the guy a little bit, he said it was just a crazy year because the rain kept coming kind of at the perfect interval then for them to hatch this year.
Mm-hmm.
So they calculate when to be there in the springtime. They know after the thaws and after the rains, they need to be out on certain, you know, days or 2 days in a row, but then they're going past the hatching cycle. That's my residence. Also, the park district, we're planning on evaluating this and spending some money at Roslyn Campground. So either working with the city or we're going to get a different contract for the campground next year from the parks point of view, and that is in the city too. So we're going to probably, you know, spray that property no matter what if the city does or doesn't do it.
Well, that's good input. Thanks for that, Tony. Dan?
My house is in the same subdivision, Lazy River South, but on the opposite side of the river. I only see him about twice a year. Now, there may be times he's there, other times, but there's never been any. We've had cats and dogs and horses and llamas, and never has anybody died. And I think that's I don't think nowadays you can use stuff where people are going to be dying. I don't know what that was. But Terminix, in my experience as a realtor, they're like a big franchise. They're people that run the little franchises. They're not really experts, and we personally don't use them much. I don't know who does the abatement on Lazy River South, but I don't believe it's Terminix. And I
have his name.
It's a district.
Yeah.
Okay.
And citizens out there are generally satisfied.
I'm very satisfied.
I saw one mosquito on my back porch this year. I was so happy with it.
Yeah, I know.
I went to the campground and it was a disaster down there.
The problem with that is, though, that he is working for that district that's paying for that service. He will not go outside that district. We cannot hire him to do that. I just want to make that real clear.
Well,
so
we can make a connection there, too, though, because he's all certified up, and he said he wouldn't mind starting another company because, you know, there's a big need down here. So we should talk to him about that.
Okay.
Because, you know, they do have a district, and he works for the district, but mm-hmm. they may be able to start a separate company and do that same service with the same product.
Same product, yeah.
Would you contact them that
sure.
and see if they're...
And you have his name, too.
Yeah.
He's probably have more handy than I do.
Yeah, I can find it.
Okay.
I fixed his laptop a few times.
So, go home and tell all of your friends and neighbors we're working on this. We really want to do the right thing for the greatest number of people. Council, any other input? Is there any other research?
So, are we going to make a decision on whether or not we're going to abate next year?
Well, we're getting more information.
We're getting more information back.
We'll come back to us.
I think we had Terminix because I remember seeing the truck. And I thought it was for the mice in the ants.
You know, if we're going to do this,
we want to be sure we're doing it right, get the things bang for our buck, and take care of people. All right. We ready to move on, everyone?
Yep.
Other matters. Number 11A. Lorna, were you going to tell us what this is about, the $1,000 planning assistance grant application?
Yes, this application came in with pretty mailbox. I forwarded on to Deborah, and she very quickly applied for it. It's for planning assistance for the community, for populations under 2,500. It's a very easy grant to get, use. Doesn't take much to get a hold of it, and she said that we could use it for to assist with planning functions, which the timing is right for that. So she applied it, and we have been awarded this grant. It's on the agenda now to accept it so we can sign the final paperwork to collect it, get it moving.
And this is something that Deborah did, you know, within the cost of her contract. It's something that came away. She found out she could do for us. Didn't charge us anything for her time. She just went ahead and did it. Unless anyone's really upset over collecting an additional $1,000 for planning assistance.
Who's doing the planning and who's... I don't quite understand who this is going to for what.
It's coming to the city.
And
for help in planning assistance.
And we can use this for any, like working on the comprehensive plan, planning for any... What types of things can we use this on? Are there restrictions?
There's several things, and Deborah's very aware of which ones they are. It's just a... It was one. She says, yes, we need to get this one. We can use it. So, we did.
Okay. Planning is a very broad category right now for the city of Pine.
I thought maybe it was for our planning commission, but that's kind of vague. It's Deborah knows, and we don't.
What would the planning commission need it for?
I don't know. See, I didn't understand when it was down here, planning assistance.
Free money.
Where's the...
It's too much to read right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't have it before.
Such as costs of notices.
Thank you. Yes, all that kind of thing. There are a lot of...
I forgot to read the rest of the sentence.
Yes. Costs associated with, for instance, just doing the comprehensive plan, which is an ongoing project now until it's finished. And we do have a lot of those administrative costs, advertising costs, and such as that. And this is just more money than what we had in our pockets to help us with those incidental costs.
It's very broad. As far as the permitted use, it's all in this section here. It includes carrying out administrative actions, including zone changes, conditional uses, variances, answering planning questions from the public via phone, email, letters, walk-ins. It's definitely money, it sounds like, the city can use.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like we have a lot of discretion on how we can use it. So, it's already been applied for
and approved by the LCD for the city to receive it.
So what we were looking for is a motion to
Good, and as it's spent, we will be told about it. It'll be, will it be in the budget?
We have line item in the budget for getting grants. It just goes right into that. And then Lorado will put it in the right grant category.
Okay.
Under community planning and development.
Community planning and development.
So you need authority to sign the grant agreement.
All right. So we need a motion for authority for the mayor to sign the
grant agreement.
Grant agreement. Well, we shouldn't have it.
Yeah, right here.
The DLCD 2009-2011 grant agreement.
I move that we allow you to sign it.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded.
Permission granted.
Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Moynihan, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously. Okay. 11B, letter to the secretary. Senator Wyden, discussion on this. Luana, open this up to
me. Yeah, I'm going to hand these out to you. This just kind of came in last minute type of thing. Yes, the same thing. Tony might be able to help juggle through this. The city has been asked to submit a letter to Senator Wyden.
These are two draft samples, one from David Blair, one is from Mark
Smoland.
And I'm not sure what his Smoland. I'm not sure what his position is with this whole thing. It has to do with requesting a couple of acres. I'm not, can't remember exactly how much it was. 2-point-something acres there next to the library along Huntington for a BLM transfer to the city for future use of possible downtown
city center.
City center. Thank you.
And this information just came to the council.
It's
just in the past few days that there was a group working on this, and it sounds like a real positive thing. It was brought up at the comprehensive plan meeting the other night that it would be nice to find, you know, we should fit this concept into the comprehensive plan.
But the property has to be acquired, and David Blair's has suggested that the city acquire it from BLM through a land transaction.
And they're going to add it to the, Senator Wyden's going to add it to the Land Conveyance Act that he's proposing.
But instead of this one going to the county, he's asking this go to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is then we need to create the letter and
I haven't read all of it, I don't know.
Okay, basically, just to say, yes, we would like this land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
just mostly keep you guys on board of what's happening here, that this needs to be moved along.
So the question is the city council interested in acquiring land for the city?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, obviously, then we're going to have our attorney look into
carrying what steps need to be taken.
And getting the letter out, actually requesting this composing the letter for us.
And David Blair's letter also addresses, where the...
Okay, you say this is a sample letter?
Yeah, these are just two of the samples that came through that we could use.
Is this time sensitive at all, Laura?
So yeah, I can say a few things. One of the new things here is, when we talked about the rodeo lamb from like 3 or 4 years ago, we determined that, you know, BLM wasn't the entity that was going to be responsive to us, so we went to the senator's office. And now we've got this thing like in legislation in the subcommittee in Washington, D.C., and they're looking for just other things that they can, you know, make happen right now, because this cycle only would happen here every 5 or 10 years, you know. So we're right at the spot where at some point it's going to jump right out of their subcommittee, be bundled with a whole bunch of stuff in the Senate floor, and it'll just happen. So they're paving the way for this thing. So when you say, is it time sensitive, I'd say, yeah, don't wait too long, because then it's going to be another 5 or 10 years before it would happen again. The concept is, and I mean, David Blair says he's like paving the way for you, just say that, yes, this parcel, and I think it's defining the parcel, is of interest to the city of Alpine. Thank you very much for your support. I mean, it really doesn't need to be too complicated. So, and you know, you can do what you need to do there, but don't think of it as anything more. There's nothing, no hidden agenda. It's just land that could be given to the city.
Right, yeah. Now, as far as the time-sensitive issue, too, Sewer District meeting yesterday, they had no update on this land transfer thing. Mm-hmm. They're wondering why they are not hearing anything. If this is added to that, then that's going to slow that process down even more, and that's a concern that I have.
It
can't be that fast, because the sewer district really needs
I don't think it is slowing that down.
No, it's just adding on.
Okay, Luana says there's verbiage in there that addresses that.
I got a call from David Blair, and he was talking to two people in Washington, D.C. We were on a phone call about 10 days ago, and they were asking about the rodeo land, and they wanted to be up on just kind of the specific parcels and why we selected it, because they were going to meet with BLM again in the near future. I mean, it might have happened now or not, I don't know. But this is just kind of a jockeying of the staffers at Washington, D.C. This was in Washington they were calling from. So it's happening. It's happening right now.
Okay. Well, we do need to look at the big picture. Obviously, this is important for us, but it's important for the sewer district, too. So I really want to know if it's not going to slow things down.
David Blair said that his Senator Wyden can't do anything without a formal request.
Right. I understand that. Yeah. Ted?
I think you need to look historically. We discussed this at the Chamber Economic Development Committee meeting today, and a little knowledge about that piece of land, if I'm not mistaken, is already under the stewardship of Park and Rec District, just as the piece of land that the library sits on, that was part of that whole wedge that BLM put under the stewardship of the Park and Rec District. So you might research that. I know Candy said she was going to do that, see if she can find documentation on that. So you also may have to get relinquishing from Park and Rec District for that to be put under city ownership.
I think it's a BLM lease, and it would be a title transfer from, at a higher level than BLM. You know, the feds would take it from BLM and just give it to the city.
Yeah.
So it is understood that underneath the underlying is the BLM.
Right.
So getting it away from BLM is the key.
I understand that, but it may be already the leasee is the part of it.
People, I'd like to point out, this is why we have an attorney. He knows to look at all these things, and we're using his time right now to discuss this when we already know. Say, let's go forward with this. That's what he's going to do when he gets back in his office. So, thank you for that.
I have a question. Is that parcel of land that's for sale by the bank, did that recently come up? For lease? I don't remember seeing the sign on there before.
No, that's been there for years.
Oh, it has.
So, yeah, I think what we're talking about is like the pie-shaped piece where the horseshoe pits are.
Right.
And if you look, it's interesting. I think you were looking at maps, kind of the detail. There's like an unimproved road behind it. So there's like a public right away behind that. And then there's private land behind it. Mm-hmm. So that leased land is kind of behind what we're talking about.
Okay.
And that's been there. That's been there for years. Okay. Built to suit, lease available. That's been there for years.
Well, it'd be interesting.
But it's triangle.
Taking that too.
The triangle is what we're talking about.
Yeah, you said it was pie-shaped.
Yeah.
But I want more land. Well,
it's a piece of pie.
Yeah. Pie is kind of a triangle with a round edge to it, but yeah.
If anyone needs any more clarification on where the property is and everything, can we do this later outside of the meeting? Or so the question is, do we want to get free land?
Definitely.
And do we want to set Jeremy to work on this?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I would suggest that you have it ready for next meeting so that you can vote on it and get the letter out.
And is that going to be...
Definitely try.
I was going to say, does that fit into your equipment on that?
I'll definitely try. I'll do my best. I can't commit to it, but I'll definitely try.
So, do we have... One more, real quick, Tony, please.
Just kind of, if I was in your shoes, could I just share with you? I think just the parcel number would be the thing that you'd need to research. You know, what parcel exactly we're talking about. And then the letter is just, yes, we're interested in this land. I mean, I'm worried that, you know, if it goes on Jeremy's desk and he can't commit to it, I don't know that it, you know, needs to get stuck there. But
it's not going to get stuck there. It's going to streamline it.
I guess my thought is, I don't even, you know, this is the first time I've seen it. Mm-hmm. It might be just simply, yeah, it looks good and that's it. I just don't know. I mean, I can't commit to anything unless I know what's going on. Tony, it's the bottom line.
Yeah.
We want it.
We want... I'm sure that with the sample letter, they have really the kind of verbiage that they need. And all they want to do is hear from us. It doesn't take Jeremy that long to look through that and say, yes, this is going to do the trick. But he also works with these other government agencies, and he might say, you know, we want to tailor it to the way our That's city fine. Would say it.
That's fine.
And it's probably going to be that simple, we hope. But thank you. All right, so... we have a roll call consensus on directing Jeremy to proceed with this.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Melander, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Because Jeremy, one more thing.
It's okay.
All right. Okay, item number 11C, Rural Community Development Initiatives Assurance Agreement. And this is another one of those money things. Chris Marco with Rural Community Development Initiatives is always looking for ways to get more money to... continue to be of assistance in us in bringing groups and organizations together to help us with our infrastructure planning and making sure that we're pulling all of that together and all of us working together. And this is, if the city signs this assurance agreement that we will be in compliance with all of the, I guess, terms of use and such of the money that's being applied for, then rural community development initiatives gets yet more money coming in to continue the work that they're already doing for us. For a longer period of time, and we know that's going to go on. He's helping us coordinate with the water and sewer, fire district, parks district, every organization and entity that helps make us be a complete community. I don't know how well I explained that, but this is another one of those things that just came to us.
It just keeps the process still going. It gets him money so he can keep coming down here and helping with the economic development planning with the city.
With what he's already doing.
And we just have to be in compliance with the contract with, you know, that's what he's doing.
It extends his service to us.
Is he going to be here next week?
I don't, when was Chris? I don't think we...
There was something that said that he would be here the week of the 19th.
Oh, he'll be...
No, that was somebody else.
Because I have that on the calendar.
The infrastructure meeting?
Oh, the guy from... that's scheduled for November, that first...
Oh, that's right, November.
Tuesday in November.
Oh, the focus group.
The 17th, it's November 17th.
That's on the 17th.
I forgot calendar.
Yeah, no, somehow I remember that one, 17th. Yeah. We'll have another focus group meeting and, you know, discuss further coordination of all of these entities. So, what they're looking for is... for the city of La Pine to assign this assurance agreement, essentially, if I understand it correctly, that the money will in fact be used for rural development to continue to help us with our infrastructure planning needs.
I so move.
Okay, let me put this way. I will entertain a motion for city to sign on to the RCDI assurance agreement.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Miller, yes.
I don't understand this. I've missed something in between.
I'm sorry,
he has been in town helping us plan
to coordinate. This is just one thing that he's doing. He wants to be able to do more to help facilitate economic development planning.
Okay, who has he been working with?
He is with rural community
but
development.
Here, has he been working like with Liggy or the chamber or what?
With Water and Sewer District and with the city. This is the focus group that we formed and that I have gone to, and did you? Yeah.
I think
over at the Parks Building. Didn't you go there?
Yes, she did.
No.
One of those?
The infrastructure building.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I didn't go to
maybe
that.
You didn't cook. Okay. But that's to continue the discussions that we're having so that we know that we're all on the same page with our water and sewer needs and the... working with the fire department and everyone so that eventually we will have coordinated efforts among all of the groups. We need to do some coordination with the fire district whenever we're getting the groundwork going on these kind of things so that we can have shared databases and information, sharing services and everything to increase safety factors in town, and also so that we know always what's going. We want to be able to set up a method so that in the period of time before water and sewer districts are absorbed, that we have a sharing method. We always know what their plans are when they're going into a new area, what they I'll think of it. Anyway, what their projections are, how far out their facilities are, you know, they project that they're to be able to provide for the city and keeping in tune with city growth, and when does the water and sewer district need to be able, you know, have to expand their services. We also want to know when like they kept us informed when they were doing the work along Morrison Road. We want to know when to expect when they're tearing up roads and doing line replacements or putting in new lines and this sort of thing. This is to help us build
that collaborative effort so that that's part of what he's doing, so that we will always be working together, coordinating, all of us know what the other entities are doing. And this is, Chris Marco has already been working with us to do this sort of thing. We're just in the beginning stages of it, and this is just to get more money so that he can work even.
Okay, and the money comes from RCDI?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, this money, from what I understand from Chris Marco, is can even be used to help us with economic development planning.
Okay.
So, you know, that's just one more layer that they will be able to help us with. And so it's just, you know, that's okay.
It isn't going to cost us anything, and we don't have to do anything except just sign them.
And if you're not comfortable, let me know.
Yeah, if you're not, yeah, if you don't feel like you understand it fully.
Well, you know, I missed that meeting, and it's a lot. Counselor Hedges, yes, it seems what he's doing. I know it, I've heard his name around a lot. And okay.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes. Thank you, and I'm sorry we didn't realize there was more discussion before we started our vote. Try to be more careful about that in the future. Okay. Next item is 11D, discussion on Committee for Water and Sewer Acquisition, and I would just like to throw out real quick, normally we would say put in, when someone wants to add something like that to the agenda, we would, it should come to us substantially before the meeting.
It was mine. I added it.
Right, on the behalf of these people, but okay. But anyway, we're never going to throw away volunteer help, so. Okay. So, Adele, were you going to?
Well, briefly, at the town hall meeting, there was a discussion of one of the points that the public would like to see was look for the city to consider the acquisition of the water and sewer district. And Mr. Tichler, raised his hand and said he thought that that was a good idea and that he volunteered to look into it. So I would like the council to consider the formation of the committee, and we'll call it the Water and Sewer Acquisition Committee, and name Mr. Scholler as the committee chair.
Okay. And now there have been, you know, talks, and there have been information sharing and everything in the past. You're aware of that. On what it's going to take to absorb the districts, but if you're obviously willing to get out there and do some more digging and see if you can light some fires and maybe make things happen a little faster, is that all right, Council?
I'm confused as how does the city acquire the sewer and water district? I mean,
well, that's why they made a
mistake. How do we do that? I mean, what's the legality of taking over the district, and how does it function if we do? I mean, are we going to buy it? Are we going to give it to us?
There is a process identified in statute, state statute, as far as, among other things, what our responsibilities would be going forward, etc. At this point in time, my understanding would be that the committee would be doing some of that background work, digging, trying to obtain information, and then presenting that information to a city council meeting. Is that correct?
Yeah. From A to Z.
So that it could ultimately save the council, the city council, and legal council some time.
Would they want to turn the districts over to the city?
They have always pretty much said whenever it's right for us, it's right for them.
I see.
I have never heard any opposition from either one of the districts. It's the mood or whatever that you want to call it is that it's a given the districts will fall under city, will be absorbed by the city. It's just a matter of
timing
when it works most seamlessly for both districts and the city. And that's part of what this committee would be finding out is if this is the good time to go forward with this. What are current obstacles and roadblocks, and would they be different down the road, and so on?
I think one of the critical issues is going to be the financial aspects of the acquisition. And Ted, you may already know this, but I've heard rumors that there are grants available that the city might be able to acquire to obtain to assist in payment of, for example, legal fees and other soft cost fees that might be associated with our absorption of the district. So I don't know about the city council, but I would definitely be interested in hearing about those programs.
I'll include that in
my excellent.
So it's a lot of digging, a lot of information digging, and we have volunteers wanting to do it. And then what are our criteria on forming committees?
Do it by city council motion, and it sounds like Ted's well aware of kind of the scope and what the expectations are.
And the reason why I said come to a city council to do this is because it's going to be a lot easier when you are a city-formed and city-authorized committee to get the information that you're asking for. Yeah. So, do you have any questions?
No, I know it's, I already started doing some research into it and can see that it's not going to be easy snap process.
Yeah.
But I feel alone. That's an area we need to move towards, and if we don't start moving in that direction, it'll never happen.
Right. Now, one thing that I did learn too, and this was going to be part of my staff report, but that's okay. I can do it as part of my staff. I'm not staff. I feel like it. My council report is that the water and sewer districts are actively looking into annexing the Cagle subdivision. Not only the Cagle subdivision, but some lands to the west and a little bit north of that, which would be outside city boundaries.
That's so not that a problem.
That'll just be another layer.
Boundaries don't have to match.
Yeah. Right. It'll just be another layer of consideration.
Right.
And another thought, and Ted, I don't know if you already have ideas as to who that committee might consist of, but maybe we should advertise the formation of the committee on the website and otherwise get a notice out so that we've got a pool of people, to pick from, so to speak.
Thank you, Maureen. Got a few, but always, always welcome more. Matter of fact, Commissioner Unger wants to assist that committee.
That's great.
Oh, good. Do you envision a certain number that you'd like to have on the committee?
Well, I don't think you ever want to be over 9. That's a maximum for a committee. Otherwise, you don't function.
That's true. If we're going to advertise, we need to know, how many positions.
Well, we've got Tony has already volunteered to be a member of that committee. Jane Benner has already volunteered to be on that committee. And myself, Commissioner Hunter, I've also pledged support by Clark Jackson, Oregon Economic Development Department, or Oregon Businesses is now called. So I would say another 5 positions would be fine.
So all of you will appoint then the individual committee members then? Is that correct? Is that the approach that you want to follow? That's what you followed in the past.
You've
appointed the committee members.
So if you advertise for them and people...
Well, it sounds like some of you. Yes, you advertise and these people that have already been identified as wanting to participate would obviously submit their names as well. But in the past, rather than appoint a chairperson and have the chairperson fill the committee, you have filled the spots.
Do they have to live within the city?
No.
Oh, no.
None of our committees do we have to have people within the appropriate limits, subject to very mild limitations.
I know that we had talked about this before, and it was like 5 years in the future. I think this is great. Get moving on it. Mm-hmm. And don't just make plans.
Yeah, well, it'll take a lot, a load off of a lot of people to start digging in and get this done.
I propose that we offer a seat on that to a city council member, a water board member, and a sewer board member. I mean, we want to start off on the right foot. Where it's not anybody against anybody. We want to just say, hey, this may be a good thing, and the time frame may be a year, maybe 2 years, maybe five still. We don't know.
That's
but having the plans in place is
just getting a handle on it. Well, I already attend the water and sewer meetings, and so...
But I mean, having the city council offer that seat to those, that may be the great, you know, the olive branch that gets it all started right there. You know?
That makes eight people then. If you have Ted, Tony, Jane, Alan, Andrew, Clark, Jackson, Councilman, Water Board Member, and Sir Board Member. That's eight people.
That new kitty, the councilman.
So we're looking for just one then.
So, Brian, you didn't want to go over nine. Are you looking, hoping for, usually we have an uneven number.
Yeah. An uneven number is always the best.
I could be on, but yeah, staff. I don't know.
Staff?
No, I think I could be on it.
Great.
Okay, so name
Ted Schuller, Tony Tavon, Jane Bennett, Alan Unger, Clark Jackson, Eddie Shields, Water Board Member, Sewer Board Member.
Clark Jackson would be an ex officio member, and so would Commissioner Unger. You know, they would be advisory.
Okay, advisory, not okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we'll have a seven member.
Yeah, seven.
That'd be great.
Be good. Yeah.
So Adele wanted.
Did you get Adele on there?
Adele.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't put it. I just don't count it. So that's it.
That's great.
So we don't even have to advertise if everyone mm-hmm. is. We have to see if water and sewer board members are on board with this.
Well, it should be.
Well, you think so? So, what are we going to call our committee?
The Water Sewer Acquisition Committee.
Thank you. I mean, you said earlier.
Maybe Kit wants to name it. It's his committee.
What would you name it?
Well, I don't even know. You don't need to call it the Acquisition Committee. I mean, because I've heard somebody state the fact that, I mean, it isn't in stone that this even has to happen, as in other cities don't do this. So, I mean, one of the options on the table should be, maybe we don't do this, maybe we never do this.
Right.
So we need to explore that option. So I don't know that we need to call it the Acquisition Committee.
We'll come up with an alternative.
Water and Sewer Committee.
Yes, Jillary.
Yes, committee or something.
Water and Sewer Districts, remember, committee.
Just set up another quick comment. Just a general rule, it's best to advertise the committees and open them up to everybody, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
So still advertising?
Well, it's up to the city council, but I think that's the preferred approach.
So the meetings would be open and the public could come in?
Oh, yeah.
So that would be a good way to get that out.
They're serving in advisory capacity, so we've got the same public meeting laws that apply. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Does it have to be advised?
Well, yeah, they're going to advise the city council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All city council committee meetings have to be advertised.
And Ted, if you need help from me, whether it's statutes or contracts, I can give you a copy of the existing water and sewer contract. Let me know.
Thank you.
Sure. This is wonderful.
Are these going to be recorded?
Nice to have somebody on them.
It is.
So staff was supposed to do that.
They're just kind of hanging there in the background.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Put together this little two-paragraph memo.
All right.
A quick note that, and this should not be the only criteria, but the water and sewer districts are money makers, and that could come into your budget considerations.
Okay.
One of the things that came up today in a meeting is the cost in the small cities of the water and sewer bill, and they range up to $90 a month for the combination that people are paying because they wanted to find out if there was help for people on fixed incomes who couldn't afford, you know, $40 a month. So,
and usually there are those, you have those programs.
Yeah, well,
my combined currently is $49.34.
Yeah, that's,
that should be general, yours.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. I think our motion can be pretty simple. Just the board and the committee with seven members.
Yeah, you need to decide if you're going to actually appoint those members today or just form the committee and appoint them at the next city council meeting.
Okay, well, we can't appoint people who aren't here and we don't know if they're going to buy into it. The Water and Sewer District.
Why don't you then establish the committee tonight? And Luana, can I'm sure get an advertisement out, a posting out, you know, within a short period of time, and make your appointments at the next city council meeting. Albeit it might be the same people we just identified, right?
And part of your advertising, I guess, then would be all direct phone calls to our Water and Sewer District, to the, unless you want to, well, we're not formed yet, so, or I don't know. We want to do that properly. Would that still all fall to Luana and to city staff to do that?
To do what, Katie?
We're forming the Water and Sewer District's committee.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we know we're going to directly approach the Water and Sewer District boards. Mm-hmm. Would that fall to Luana?
Sure.
To do that?
Definitely.
Okay.
Can I get a question?
Absolutely.
So ultimately then is your objective, after you've done all the due diligence, to make a recommendation to the city council? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. With, you know, including will it be all our findings, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to work with Jeremy here on how to word the motion. Okay, to establish a seven-member Water and Sewer District, seven-member Water and Sewer District Committee. Two.
You're fine. Two is fine.
So how do we word the purpose? Establish a seven-member Water and Sewer District Committee. Two. Review,
evaluate.
Oh, evaluate. Okay.
Review and evaluate.
Review and evaluate.
The feasibility.
Feasibility?
Yeah, okay. I think so. And I think you mentioned the feasibility of the acquisition of the water and sewer districts.
Okay.
And then ultimately, as Tony said, the conclusion might be that it's not feasible. And that's fine. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And by that motion and forming the committee, then everything underlying that is already there, that they report back to us. And
Luana's gonna prepare between now and the next city council meeting a simple memorandum that kind of outlines the very general parameters.
All right.
Have it nice and tight.
It'd be nice to get the ball rolling on this. Council, any further discussion or recommendations or input? All right. I will entertain a motion to establish a seven-member Water and Sewer District's committee to review and evaluate the feasibility of the acquisition of the districts.
I shall move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Mullanan, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Motion passes unanimously.
I don't know if I should say thank you or not.
You know what? You got yourself in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for stepping forward to do that, and for not just walking away and
letting it languish after you said you would do that. I appreciate that. All right. Any public comments for items not on the agenda? Yeah.
I'd just like to thank the council and staff for the town hall meeting that we had last week. Several members of the public commented that they felt like it was a positive thing. There was some good communication, and really appreciate that. And then also would like to make sure you know that you're invited to the chamber breakfast this coming Friday morning at 7:45 at the Senior Center. And I think I have Barbara's name down. I'm not sure if I have anybody else, but Luana, okay. I'd like to invite you to join us.
I'm going to be out, I think, in front of a TV camera with my brother and some other people on the Historic Society. Yeah. So I won't be there.
Let us know when you're
here. Anyone else?
I might just say, too, I was going to mention this. We're having Wes Price, who is on the board of directors for the Central Oregon Economic Development, come and speak to us. He's a pretty good communicator, and kind of give us some ideas on how maybe we can move forward on the economic development scene here in La Pine, and how we can learn and utilize EDCO's resources, which might sort of tie in with this grant that you approved tonight.
Yeah, and they do. They work together. They work hand in hand sometimes. So
anyway.
Well,
he's our speaker, so I just
want to...
All right.
An update, you know, the word's already out about the MOU with the stakeholders on terms of the stoplight and the traffic study and that type. And I'm a Lapine Industrial Group board member and the vice president of Lapine Industrial Group. And at this point, the LIGI acronym decided not to sign that until there is language in that MOU that ties everybody in to commit to whatever the study finds. We don't want to just throw $75,000 to the wind, do a study, and nothing happens. So what we're saying is everybody's got to commit to the recommendations whenever that study comes up.
I've always liked that about LIGI. You guys are very good stewards of public funds. Mm-hmm.
Ted, will LIGI be sending an email to me or to ODOT, or so that we know?
Lee Smith would be, or Darwin Thurston, the president, would be doing that. But I'm assuming that Lee should be communicating with all parties on that.
Feel free to contact me. If I'm on vacation, you won't get it. Yeah, you might want to come.
Yeah, we just need language because, you know, obviously there's four different stakeholders.
Sure, yeah.
And then I can circulate it around. We'll get it.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and contact Lee. Okay.
Well, thanks for the heads up on that.
I don't know.
Jim?
I just, as president of the board for the community kids, I could just give you guys an update. We applied for that $500,000 grant, and the paperwork kicked back to us. It did not qualify. Because it's okay to give food out in cardboard boxes, but not serve food on plates. Don't ask me the explanation. My first thought was, well, we'll serve the food on cardboard boxes.
A better definition is they don't fund community kitchens or soup kitchens. They only these funds only fund pantries, food pantries.
Yeah.
So since our food pantry and our kitchen is combined, it would not fund us.
It would not fund us.
In that respect. You want me to continue, Jim?
No, I got it.
Okay.
We had a meeting last Friday, and Senator Chris Telfer said the same thing I did about cardboard box. But we found out that another option were the several options, but one of the options we agreed on was buying the property across the street from us, from where the kitchen is. And since the money is handled through the county would be buying that property. That property would be big enough for a food bank, a food pantry over there.
Mm-hmm.
So then it would be separate from the kitchen itself, and that would qualify for the money. That's one of the options. The senator also said that at that Friday morning, she had found out that stimulus money was going to be available. That's as far as the information she had. She didn't know how much or what it was for. And it might be able to be used for the kitchen itself, to be able to modernize everything, combine the buildings, and get it all into one thing again. So we wanted to give you guys a heads up, because that probably might come out of your tax rolls. You'd be losing a little bit, but anyway, it's for the greater good. We would appreciate any input you guys have, and, you know, assistance, any information you have, we'd appreciate it, you know, to get this going and get it done. And then we're waiting until next year, because now the money, instead of $500,000, is going to be
$800,000. Want a support letter from the city at some point, you know?
Probably would that, good. That would help you. Yeah. As soon as we get some more information, the senator is trying to get more information to us on that, and then we'll resubmit the letter the other way around, going for, you know, purchasing the property and building the building over there.
Okay.
Where do you get the food for the meals?
Well, we have people in Bend that donate, Neighborhood Impact.
It's called Neighborhood Impact.
Yeah, Neighborhood Impact.
And most of it is purchased.
Yeah, it's purchased. And we have stores that donate food to us too. And that's how we give it out in food boxes, and then twice a week, and then we give the other food is in the kitchen, so
okay.
And for serving hot meals. So apparently serving the food uncooked is okay, and not cooked is and cooked not good.
Eugene does that too, that's my point of reference.
Okay, let's move on here.
No, that's all I got.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Any other public comments, input? All right, we'll move on to staff comments. Patty, did you have anything?
No, thanks.
What? Alana?
I have a pile. And were you going to report, Barbara, on the library and the Culture Day thing, what you found out there?
I could do that.
Okay. I just didn't know if you were going to. So. Or I could. I'll let you do it. Okay.
Same thing.
Mr. Fleming, before you leave, and counselors, I have been trying to get a hold of ODOT regarding the We Own Our Veteran signs that the council had approved to try to figure out how we could get those on our population signs. I finally, after the third time and 5 months later, got a call back from a Todd LaFrance. He gave me the bad news that it was going to be costly because they have to do studies on the signs for wind power and all that stuff. They have to replace the signs, yada, yada, yada. So basically, it was like, okay, thanks. But in that conversation, he thought maybe there would be a grant available, especially when if it has to do with World War II vets. Maybe contact the chamber and add to their signs that they already have. Well, then after the Liggy meeting, I was in conversation with Dan Barco and Clark Jackson, and Clark suggested checking with the city of Gates and Adana.
Adana.
I can't say that. So I did get a hold of Adana, city of Adana, and she gave me some information on how they got their stuff done, and in the conversation thought it might be good maybe to get the chamber, the city, the veterans, everybody together and create new entrance, something coming into the city to honor the vets, you know, just make it the whole community effort. The city of Adana, they created a community enhancement committee, and it consisted of counselors and volunteers. They went to local businesses and property owners, asked for donations, came up with a committee on how the sign would look and where it would go, and then hired a local artist to create it. That's how they made it happen. I haven't talked to the city of Gates yet, but Clark thought there might have been a grant out there to do something like that. So, just kind of throwing this idea out so people can think about it. Got a letter about order from Morgan, Department of Human Services. That was all I had.
Okay.
Got a letter from the Oregon Department of Human Services. They're inviting people to place their names on the reservation list for opportunity to apply for coverage to the Oregon Health Plan. So that's coming about again. It's just kind of a public notice thing. Also, Alan Unger is going to be doing an Ask the Commissioner column in the Eagle. So here's information on how to get the questions into him if anybody's interested. Kathy DeBrons is letting us know once again that we have the opportunity to purchase a domain name, www.lapine.gov, for $125 a year. If everybody's tired of spelling out ci.la-pine.or.us. Deborah McMahon and I have also applied for an $80,000 grant through the OCD for technical assistance to get the planning process going. Just wanted to let you know that has been applied for. The draft Deschutes County Comprehensive Plan, we do have a copy at City Hall if anybody would like to read it. Just to let you know, the counties, we also have ours there too. And Barbara, you had mentioned CRC presentation coming down to talk to the council about loans and grants and other available programs. Actually, everybody has received an invitation from CRC to go to Redmond at the Eagle Crest on November 5th for information on that very thing. So, you have to RSVP it if you're going to go. Wednesday, October 28th. No, it's Thursday. Wait a minute. You have to RSVP by the 28th of October.
That is the business attire.
I have to dress up?
Yes.
Okay.
Whatever your business is.
Okay. That was just a general letter. And that was all I have.
Alright. Number 14, council comments.
Well, due to an unforeseen house guest and a little bit of short-term memory loss, I did not go to the lady meeting, but I'll admit to it. I'm the second oldest one here. No, I'm the oldest one here. But the water did fill in for me. And that's all I have to say.
Alright. Councilman Lehman.
No comments.
No comments.
Well, I've been too busy this week. I did go to the Water Alliance meeting, and I've reported on that. Today I went to the Small Cities Network meeting. Very interesting. Everybody has problems and they've overcome them, and they're very happy with what they're doing. There were a lot of comments about helping with economic development, and I have some cards for you to hand out, Dan, at the chamber breakfast. Perhaps somebody could give a talk, or this gentleman, and let people know how to start a small business and what they need, and if they have it, you know, do you have a bookkeeper, or do you do all of this yourself, and is that why you're kind of bogged down, and different things like that. A lot of help that way. We had a presentation by the National Guard on what they can do, but I don't think that we're eligible. They go around and do work in the cities. They do covers for picnic areas. They moved caboose off of the tracks in Maupin and moved it over to a park, and a lot of things that they can do. But I didn't really find out anything that we specifically needed. So and I'm anxious to have another town meeting. possibly in December, the first part of December, we could do that. And is that Johnson building available for meetings? It seemed like it was a nice size. We could try something like that. But I think it's important to follow up and do that. And for Culture Day, the library is full all the month of October. They're not able to give us any room to put up any historical pictures or information. They're busy. They've got an art show going on now, and they've always got things up, and they've got programs that go on in their meeting rooms, and they didn't have a way to secure historical things, so. And that's all I have.
Right. Why don't you say there was something that you...
Yes, I just wanted to let the council know that when we were at the League of Oregon Cities Conference, we were awarded the Gold Safety Award for the City of Lapine and the Gold Medal Awards for Wellness Promotion. That's because staff didn't have any accidents.
All right. Yeah.
I don't care.
Or if you did, you didn't tell us about it. Okay. Well, my comments were pretty well covered in other issues with the Lapine Water District electing to join the Deschutes Water Alliance, and with and that they will be. Well, they've also applied for some funding to help them with their annexation of the Cable subdivision. So that was the part I didn't say. They're actively moving forward on this. They decided they will have Deschutes County initiate the annexation. They're doing it themselves, and I don't know how all that works, but that's, I think that's...
Because some of it's outside the city limits? Is that why?
No. There are different provisions for how the districts can do this, and it's their business. They didn't. I don't have enough background and understanding on it because they weren't discussing that at their meeting. So I know just enough to say something stupid, so I won't say it because I'm not that informed on it. I would like to thank people too for showing up at the town hall meeting. I thought that was just an excellent. We had a good turnout and lots of good input and suggestions. And city staff will be following through on that and tracking all of the suggestions, what anything that needs that we want to act on, making sure that everyone's informed that we are acting on that. We're actually taking those suggestions and comments and doing something with them. And you're going to have a follow-up report due at the ready at the, you think, at the next meeting, at our next regular meeting?
I'll try.
And, cut her some slack if she doesn't have it ready, or the gals, if they don't have it ready by next meeting. It's not something we're going to drop the ball on, because that was the purpose, was to hear what people would like to see their city doing, and we're not going to just listen to that stuff and walk off, because that is what we are there for, is to listen to people and take what we can from their suggestions and comments, and see how much of it we can apply and how much really does work. Like pointing your finger and say, form a committee, and see, it works. And I have nothing else. Jeremy, did you have anything?
Nope.
But that they include you under staff comments.
Okay. I've spoken enough.
All right. I'll call for a motion to adjourn.
That would so move.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Moynihan, yes.
Councilor Hedges, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Meeting is adjourned at 8:21 p.m.
Okay, so then everybody's aware of that?
I'll prepare them right now.
Okay.